Lord, may you speak your word to your people. In Christ's name, amen. So we're going to look at John chapter 8 this morning. You're free to just listen. You're free to open up Bibles if you want to. But we're going to look at this woman caught in adultery together. It's kind of verse by verse. With the understanding of our theme for Orange this month for our children, which is integrity. Integrity. So I know we've gone over this before, but what is integrity? Anybody? How do you define integrity? Respect? Doing the right thing. Anything else? When no one's looking. Bill, I heard him. Yes. So again, I've shared this. When I was in high school, I was in RC and Civil Air Patrol, and we would have these tests in order to promote. And that was like the definition that we were taught was integrity, doing what is right when no one is looking, right? And so we're instilling that definition and that understanding into our children, including, but Ricky Lee got it right this morning, the Ten Commandments, right? And so when he lies to mom and dad, he knows it's a lack of integrity and it's a sin, right? That we should be honest and forthcoming with our parents, with God, all of those things. And so again, in verse 8 here, in John chapter 8, verse 1, it simply says what? But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. All right, well, we could read that at face value, but we're going to kind of look at this. First of all, in the context of the temple, right, this is the epicenter and communal life of the time. Jesus begins his day teaching the people who have gathered. Now, we know about the early disciples. What do? They met together daily for the reading of Scripture and the breaking of bread, right? So they were together. They lived life together. Now, one of our core values, my vision for St. James, which I pray becomes everyone's vision for St. James. If it doesn't, let me know why. We can talk about it. But it's simply living life together. We like each other. We love each other. We eat together. We fellowship. We're there for each other in the good moments and the bad moments. Now again, last night, I don't know how much of a Christian bet it was, but there was 15 of us that went to Headless Horseman together at Connors Prairie. It was so much fun last night. And Michael and Alicia are here, right? Even though we had a late night, right? We all had a late night. It was great. I'm in bed by like 9 o'clock on Saturday. So it was way past, but we had a great time. And then I'm so happy. About 40 folks from our church ended up at Mount Lebanon, where Amanda pastors, for their barbecue dinner to show their support for their local mission outreach. And so, again, we live life together. That's what the early disciples did. And that's what we continue to do here at St. James. And the more we do that, guess what? The more that we love each other. We are family, right? But integrity, going back to that, begins with our actions and our behaviors at the very heart of our lives. Where we work, where we worship, and where we interact with people, right? Because we've talked about this. We can't have multi-personality disorder when it comes to our Christian walk. People must know we are Christians by the way we behave, right? Now, I get it. We're sinners. We're always going to be sinners. But our life should reflect Jesus. It should. 100%. Amen? You should love each other. Like the old Christian hymn, right? They will know us by our love. We actually love each other because Christ first loved us. As we talked about sin, raise your hand if you deserve death this morning. That's everybody. I'm sorry. Everybody in here, we deserve death. Jesus took that away. The punishment of sin is death. That was what they were going to do to the woman caught in adultery. Now I'm skipping ahead of my verses, but they wanted to kill her for her act of adultery. Now, I better be careful here. Verses 3 to 4, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought the woman in adultery, and they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." And they brought this woman up, and they presented a test, really, right, of integrity, not only for the woman, but also for Jesus. See, integrity is tested when we are confronted with the sins of others, compelling us to respond in the way that reflects to God's character. We can't accuse and name people's sins out if we're not willing to look at ourselves and publicly say, "I'm a sinner. I've done X, Y, Z." Right? We have to take the log out of our own eye before we can take it out of others. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. And then verses 4 and 5. Should be a short sermon today. They made her stand before the group and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They're posing a dilemma to Jesus between adherence to the law and compassion. And praise be to God, we are people of grace, not of the law. Because again, all of us would deserve death. And it goes back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? In the garden. When God said, "Leave this tree alone. You can have anything else that you want." And what does Eve do? She's tempted by the serpent. And what does Adam do? He's tempted by Eve and the serpent. And they take of the fruit of good and evil. And we are all then, from that moment on, condemned from original sin until the second Adam, Jesus Christ, comes on the earth and dies for us. But we hear this, we hear the tension of law and compassion. And all of us, I am sure, at some point in your life, will be split between the two. But it does not mean that the law doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that we are not held to that standard, because sin is still real. This is the whole issue with our society today, right? And I know this might be beating a dead horse, but our society has removed sin. It's what feels good is okay. Whatever we want to do, because God made it, it's okay. But guess what? That is contrary to Scripture. Amen? We have the law. And Jesus came and said, "I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it." And that is exactly what society does. It says, we want to abolish the law. We want to abolish sin. In fact, we just don't believe in it. It's just a man-made book, after all. But no, it's not. God gave us His Word. He gave us His Word to live by. We messed it up. We broke the covenant with God. He didn't break it with us. And so He said, "You know what? I love my children so much. He gave us Jesus. He became the form of man, a slave servant, and was crucified and died for us." And we see this in this scripture as well. What do you say, Jesus? Does she deserve to be stoned? Integrity often places us in difficult situations where we must navigate the tension between law, love, and standing firm in righteousness and extending mercy. And then we move on to the next few verses here. But Jesus bent down. Now this is where it gets fun for me, right? He started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Now what was Jesus writing in the sand? Have you heard this? What do y'all think Jesus was writing in the sand, brothers and sisters? Any ideas? It's an interactive sermon so people don't fall asleep. Doodling? Yeah, doodling? No. More than likely, he was writing their sins and the sand. Now, could you imagine the king of the universe, you're right there, you're going to stone this lady, and he writes your sin and the sand. Now, all of us this morning, come up here. This was some sand or a blackboard, and we started writing your sins down. Who would be comfortable with that in front of the whole church this morning? That would be really uncomfortable, wouldn't it? But that is what happened with the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He called them out on their sin. Like all of us need to be called out on our sin. We need to be open about it. You know why? Because there's people that need Jesus that think us church people are just this perfect group of people. We don't have any issues in the whole world. We have it all together, which could be the farthest from the truth. At least it is. Maybe you guys are better. I don't know. All of us have probably crazy families. We got that crazy aunt and uncle that always have issues. Cousins, siblings, you name it, right? We are far from perfect. All of us. Because sin has entered the world and has caused us to be imperfect. So he stooped down, maybe did some doodles, maybe one of those fishes or something. But most importantly, he wrote more than likely their sins. The sins of the ones accusing. Verse 8. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, inviting the sinless to cast the first stone. Who would be ready to cast the first stone today? Certainly not me. We must examine ourselves before accusing or judging anyone. Amen? I know that's tough. I mean, it really is. Again, maybe we think to ourselves, I'm not as bad as that guy. I'm not as bad as that woman. You know, I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm basically good. But guess what? It doesn't matter. We have broken the law. We deserve equal treatment under the law, and that is death. Jesus frees us from that punishment, right? By giving us everlasting life. Verse 9 and 10, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. Now, I don't know why the scripture says this, but it does, friends. It says the older ones went first. Does that mean the older ones had more sin? I have no idea, but that's what it says. They're wiser, so they had to leave first. Yeah, that's right. The younger ones said, you know what? We're perfect. Until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Not even one. See, Jesus demonstrates the integrity of grace by not condemning the woman, but urging her to leave her life of sin. Now, this is where it can get complicated, right? Because while we may never be perfect, we are encouraged as Christians to live a holy life, to be holy because He is holy. Now, again, we're not going to achieve holiness in that way, but we should certainly be trying to live our life like our Father in heaven tells us to. We should be living a life that follows in the footsteps of Jesus, the footsteps of the disciples and the apostles and all of those that came before us in Christian faith. Integrity is revealed. Despite having the authority to judge this woman, and all of us this morning, we can extend compassion and restoration for all people. Verse 11 here. The woman answers Jesus, "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Again, no, go and leave your life of sin." And Jesus' response emphasizes the integrity of transformation. Again, urging this woman to abandon her sinful ways. Now, I think part of this integrity question, and I've preached it before, is having a group of people that you live life together. Now, the reason why that's one of our visions, right, is that all of us are accountable to one another, right? And we learned this through the passage that I preached on a couple weeks ago on conflict. What do you do, right? And in Matthew 18, when there's conflict, you go together and you meet, right? And so when you don't have relationships with people, it's difficult to confess our sins, to ask for accountability, to ask for help in those trying times. But when you live life together, it's just natural. Now, I'm going to give you just one quote here. Since we're talking about integrity, you guys know I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he said this, and I think it's so relevant to today. "Destruction of the seed of evil, yes, but not of the sinner. There is a difference. For the sinner, I am also, somehow, sometimes, a destroyer of the evil seed." Bonhoeffer's words remind us that as we address sin and work towards integrity, we must remember the potential for redemption and transformation. We have a lot of evil going on in the world, don't we, today? We see what's going on right now in Israel and Hamas and poor innocent children being murdered for no reason. Something around 150 children were murdered. That's pure evil, isn't it? There was videos of them executing children with just a sword right across the neck. Evil. How do we explain evil in the world when God is here? How do we explain that? Right? Well, the truth is the devil is alive, isn't he? He is here to tempt and destroy. And it is another reason why we need to, as believers of Jesus, to spread the good news of Christ, that he has forgiven even the murderers of those children. If they choose to go to Christ, he can forgive Hitler, right? And all of these horrible people that I myself wish that they would burn in hell for all eternity for their crimes. They deserve it, in my view. I'm pro-death penalty for people that especially hurt children. Now, that's very difficult, though, isn't it, as a Christian, to be pro-death penalty. But I am. But Jesus, praise the Lord, has a different standard than Pastor Blue. Jesus has forgiven us because all of us should be in that electric chair. All of us deserve death, even though we're not as horrendous as those people in Hamas right now that are killing innocent children. So I say that not to, I don't know, it's going to be hard to come back from, but I want you to seriously pray for the lives of those that have lost their lives through this tragic situation. And it seems like every year there's another war, right? There was the war in Ukraine, the war now in Israel. Before that, there was another war. We go back to 9/11, right? Horrendous loss of life. For many, us Christians, continue to be the infidels. We are people that don't worship the true God in their eyes. In fact, on Friday, there was a call for Jihad Day. Did you guys hear this? Which is simply a day to kill all of us that are not of their faith. Absolutely horrendous. And what do we do with that as Christians? Can we pray? Amen? We should be on our hands and knees in prayer. We can engage, can't we, in dialogue with non-believers. We can engage in dialogue with Jews, with Muslims, at very minimum, to try to bring peace to this earth. But more than likely, we will fail. But we can try. Because as believers of Jesus, we are to be people of peace. There is enough chaos in the world without us adding to it. So I encourage all of us, don't care where you are politically, where you are socially, any of that, be peacemakers. Be people of integrity. Right? Be the same person you are here as you are out there. All of us. And when someone doesn't know Jesus, please have the courage to share the gospel. Can we learn in Romans chapter 8 that without a preacher, it's all of you this morning, not just the ordained, without a preacher, they can't hear the gospel. That's you, my friends. You have to proclaim the good news. This world needs it. We have generations of people that have never heard the true gospel. Maybe some of your children and grandchildren. I bet you if we would have you raise your arms today, there are many of you that would say some of your loved ones don't believe in Christ. Doesn't that hurt our inner soul? That is why the church is here. We are here to proclaim the good news. We are here to proclaim the good news to your grandkids and great-grandchildren and for generations. So as we vision for St. James, why are we relevant? Why are we here? What is God calling us to do right now? I want us to think about those next generations in this society that is becoming less and less Christian. When we have 1,000 people out there coming to get candy, I guarantee you not all of them. Some of them may have churches, but many of them, guess what? This may be the only time that they come onto a church property in the next 12 months. Isn't that a great opportunity to preach the good news? Amen? Don't be scared. What's the worst thing they can do? Take a piece of candy and leave. That's it, right? Be bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. Have integrity. Have a spirit of love and compassion. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to be people of faith, of integrity, and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are hurt by all of the chaos in the world today. Lord, especially lift up our brothers and sisters in Israel, Gaza. Lord, the ones that have lost their loved ones due to a war they never wanted to engage in. For the innocent children who have lost their life. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to come upon this congregation to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to those who don't know it. Lord, to be peacemakers in our community and around the world. To live a life that models Christ so that others may know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, help our church to navigate where you are leading us, how you are leading us, Lord. I pray for the churches in this community, Lord, to proclaim the gospel this morning, to seek the lost sheep, Lord, to bring love and compassion to the hurting, to reignite flames of lost faith. Lord, I lift all this to you in your holy name. Amen.